We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition. Yet another weekend approaches us. Aaron Rodgers is still a Green Bay Packer. He is not yet a New York Jet. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can find some of my work, the Quick Slants podcast, specifically over at Game On Wisconsin. Along with me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, on the East Coast, I know we don't do the weather, but I always want to know how things are looking at the beach.
Getting better. It was good, a little crowd. Cool, but today's Thursday, the weather got nice, and weekend's supposed to be pretty nice, and if you want to find me, I'll be at the pool or at the beach.
Nice. Good for you. Yeah, same here. Nice and warm in the Phoenix locale. So, some news broke on Wednesday. 2 weeks in a row, we got some news. The news cycle is benefiting us here.
It's like the old time.
Now, the news is not that Aaron Rodgers was traded. That's not done. So that's not done. But earlier this week, Mark Murphy spoke. I don't remember where it was, what it was to, but he said he was sworn to secrecy to the group he was talking to as far as how things were moving in the Aaron Rodgers trade discussions with the New York Jets. Well, we got some clarity on Wednesday as to what some of that could be. There were a couple of moves that were made. So the Jets signed receiver Mecole Hardman, who was formerly of the Chiefs. That's big. Very speedy wide receiver. They've already got a ton of wide receivers in New York, right? So, okay, now we're starting to move towards some tea leaves, as our former Thursday crewer Paul Bredel used to say. And then the Jets traded receiver Elijah Moore, to the Cleveland Browns. Both of those transactions happened on Wednesday. So, new receiver coming in, one receiver going out. Mark, what's your first take on that?
Well, the Jets got a second. Well, they gave up their own third-round pick. They traded Elijah Moore and a third to Cleveland for Cleveland's second-round pick.
Right. So they have two straight picks in the second round of the Jets. Yeah, 42 and 43 the Jets have.
So to quote our buddy Paul, as I read the tea leaves, the Jets did this to get more ammunition, to put some more bullets in the gun to get Aaron Rodgers. Elijah Moore was a name that fans and maybe some reporters – had been bannering that he could be involved in the deal for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Green Bay didn't want Elijah Moore. Maybe that was part of the holdup in the deal, was the Jets kept offering Elijah Moore, and Green Bay kept saying, no, we don't like Elijah. You know, he's not our kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And he really isn't. Packers don't like those little reefs. They tried Amari Rodgers, and that didn't work. I mean, the Packers, as far as I can go back with the Packers, they're not big on little receivers.
They want size.
Yeah, they've always look at who they have now. I mean, or through the years even. They've always had, when Randall Cobb's the smallest, and he's not that small. You know, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, James Jones. Now they have Watson and Dobb. We can go on and on. But Elijah Moore obviously was not of any interest to the Packers. So the Jets said, all right, well, since they don't want Moore, we can maybe turn Moore into something. And or maybe the Packers said, hey, listen, I'm sure somebody likes more. Trade him, get a pick, give us that pick. So now we're at the point where, and again, it's funny because I got to stop reading all the stories because it's, although it is kind of funny. So you read Tom Silverstein of the the Milwaukee paper, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's covered the team forever. He talks to four people around the league, four, you know, I don't know if they were general managers, but four guys with four different teams. And he gets their opinion on what a fair trade would be. And then somebody else, and I forget who it was, wrote a similar story, and they talked to like three general managers around the league, and they said what they thought of fair, and everyone's different. It's like, so I have no idea what's fair or what's even a possibility. I think we've come to the conclusion that the Jets are not giving up number 13. They really don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this trade today leads me to all kind of conclusion. And again, without knowing how Joe Douglas thinks, even though I do know Joe a little bit from his the 1 year I covered when he was with the Eagles for a year or two when I was there. I mean, you could look at this a million ways. You could look at it that, all right, the Jets have two twos. They could give the Packers both of those twos. Packers, you know, give up Rodgers and done deal. And I don't think that – I personally think that would be somewhat fair. Mm-hmm. You agree?
I think I'll just say this, but I think if 13 was involved in this deal, it would have been done already. So I agree with you. I think 13 is something the Jets don't want to part with.
And I don't blame them. I don't blame the Jets for not wanting to part with 13. I mean, if this was a couple years ago, absolutely. 13 isn't even enough. But you can't – and again, the Jets people have been ridiculous in what – and by Jets people, I'm talking about their writers and fans. Not, I have no idea what Joe Douglas and Woody Johnson and the Jets themselves are offering or thinking. But some of the things I read from Jets, like I said, fans or writers, is just out of control. But if nobody, including Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, knows just how long he's going to play.
Right.
And even if he says to the Jets, yeah, I'll play a couple years, well, he might play 1 year and not like it and say, you know what? I mean, he admitted last week that he was 90% going to retire, you know, this year. So,
yeah, at 2 weeks ago, he was 90% out the door, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if I'm the Jets, I don't even want it wouldn't have gotten to this point because I would have said, I'm not trading for a guy that might retire after a year.
Or that was thinking about not playing this year.
Yeah. So, but now the Jets have backed themselves. There's, as you said before we started recording, there's nobody else now.
The upper hand argument is kind of interesting because there isn't anybody else at all. I mean, there's no one else out there. So the Jets have to get somebody because you have to sell to your locker room that you've got a quarterback that's going to make plays for them and that's going to help them win games. Zach Wilson is not that guy. And the Jets are on the hook right now. I mean, jobs are on the line because they have to fix the mistake they made in drafting him second overall. So right. You can't sell him to your locker room, and you've got nothing. I mean, I talked about it on Quick Slants, and I said there was nothing but scraps. And that was 2 days ago, 3 days ago now, or 3 days later. And it just seems like by the day, there's less and less going on. Like I read something on Wednesday that Cam Newton was at Auburn's pro day, and he worked out too. I mean,
he was the guy throwing the ball to the receivers.
Oh, okay. I mean, come on. I mean, we're down to next to nothing. But at the same time, it is an aging asset in Aaron Rodgers, 39 years old. You don't know if he's going to play 2 years, and so that's why this stare down is happening. And then, so what's really going to end up pushing this thing along are just the deadlines that happen along the way. You've got the draft, OTAs, minicamps, for whatever all that stuff is worth. June 1st, all the different dates that matter as far as the contract goes.
Well, but getting back to what the Jets did today, because I think this is big. I think this them signing the kid from Kansas City, Hardman, and then trading more and getting a second round pick, giving up a third round pick. Like I said, the easy thing is, oh, well, they'll just give both seconds to the Packers and they'll get Rodgers and that'll be done. And while I think that would be a good trade for both teams, I don't know if the Jets want to go without a second and third, without a day two pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that's what's going to happen. It could be. I don't know. I think the Jets will now be more than happy to give up one of their second round picks and maybe some players or later or picks in the future, or even maybe a second and a fourth this year and something that, I don't know what the thinking is. I know Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN. I've known Rich forever. He was at Long Island Newsday for a long time. He's the one Jet writer that I trust. He's by far their best writer and best reporter. He mentioned the name of the defensive end that they took last year, Jermaine Johnson.
Johnson.
out of Florida State, who I liked a lot last year coming out of draft. Maybe a second. I would take a second in Johnson.
I was just going to say, that deal's done if it's me.
Because I like him. I think he fills an obvious need for the Packers. They get him. They don't have to worry about drafting any of these edge rushers that are coming out this year in the first or second round. They got their young edge rusher. And then you look at a future of him and Rashawn Gary. You know, they're both young. That's a pretty nice bookend pass rushers for the next whatever many years, you know. So I would like that. And Rich, in his story, he made a very, very good point in that he says if the Packers, and again, he says if because he doesn't know what the teams are actually asking for. Now, he might have some insight to the Jets. I'm sure he has sources there that are telling him something. But if the Packers want a first and feel they have to get a first for Aaron Rodgers, and the Jets don't want to give a first, but they give him Johnson, they say, well, you are getting a first. He was a first round pick just a year ago, mm-hmm. and the Packers can save face or sell it to their fan base by, yeah, hey, listen, we got a second round pick where we're going to get a real good player, and we just got a guy that was a first round pick last year, so we're thrilled with this deal. We got a first and a second.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that, and obviously, and I know this is wasn't what you meant by it, but the fans always have different ideas of what they want the team to get and what they think that these players are worth. I mean, I've seen some outlandish scenarios out there too that are just great comedy, as I'll call it, just stuff out there because they don't understand those things. I mean, you wouldn't have to sell to me if a first round pick is not part of this deal. You would no longer have to sell that to me. I think. Now with the way that this trade went down with the Browns, and now that the Jets have another second round pick, now I have higher. I'm like, okay, it's starting to become more obvious where I think this thing is going. And I've heard some very good writers and Rich put out that another article. I don't know if this was the same one. I think it might have been a different one where he actually talked to some executive. He actually went through the timeline this past weekend. It came out on Sunday. It was a great article, and I tweeted it out. And I mentioned it on Quick Slant's podcast as well, where he kind of talks through the timeline and talked about how the pendulum swings between who has the upper hand based on the time of year and the dates as they move along. And it is kind of interesting how it sways back and forth between the Packers and Jets. But I think that and by the time, I should have said it, by the time you're listening to this show, all this might be a moot point. This deal might be done. We might wake up on Thursday morning and find out this deal is done. You and I record Wednesday night. So... which would be great because then we can move on and talk about some other stuff and actually talk about the Green Bay Packers in 2023 and moving forward. But I would love to have Jermaine Johnson. I think the Packers need to stack some young talent there. And depending on what they think they're going to do. Now there was some talk, and I know they talked about it on Wednesday's Packaday show, that Darnell Washington, the tight end from Georgia, the Packers attended. They had him in Green Bay. So they had him in for a visit. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the percentage is not very high. Well, I shouldn't say it's not very high. It's not a surefire thing just because the Packers bring somebody in that they're going to draft them. They've brought a lot of guys in that they didn't draft at all. So
because you can't. You bring in like 25 guys.
Right, you can't. And so
you only draft, what do you have, 10 picks this year?
Right. And so I don't know if they're looking tight end. So if the Packers are thinking, sure, hey, we're going to go offense, we know we're going to go offense with our first, like, three picks, then obviously you need to push the Jets hard to get a prime defensive player because you need to stack your defense. I mean, Preston Smith is fine and he's been productive, and I expect Rashawn Gary to be back, although that might not be until mid-season. He might start the season on pup. So you need a stud or a solid pass rusher in addition to what you have. Kingsley Enagbare is we don't know what kind of jump he's going to make.
Right. He had a nice rookie year for, you know, fifth round pick.
And outside of that, there's nothing. So,
Johnson to me is the ideal.
Yeah, it's important.
Person along, I would, you know, but like I started to say before, so you don't know what the Jets, maybe, and this is a big maybe the Jets, again, in their little inner circle, came to the conclusion that we have to give up 13. That they're not going to budge off that. So in their minds, all right, if we trade 13, we have two twos. Maybe we can trade the two twos and get back into the bottom of the first, because those two twos were worth would be worth a first round pick easily. So,
I
don't know what the Jets are thinking, but I don't think that's going to happen. But let me ask you this, because this was being bantered about a little bit today. Would some people think getting 42 and 43 in this draft is just as good as getting 13.
Oh, very much so. This is not a stacked class. We've talked about it before. This is not a stacked draft. And so I think that is true. I think that is true.
So you'd rather have, you would rather have 42 or 43?
Well, no, I'd like to have a crack at an earlier pick. I mean, I'd like to have a crack at a prime player, or if Green Bay's got somebody high on their board that they're never going to get at 42 or 43 that they would get if they had 13 or 15. I mean, I was going to say, I don't know that 13, if you can stare down Joe Douglas and get him to cave and give you 13, congrats to Brian Gutekunst, and that's a huge feather in his cap. Go for it. That's fine. And if that's what this is all about, I don't hate the effort as long as the deal gets done. But I just have a hard time seeing 13 coming over without 15 going back. And then it's just, like you said before we started recording, it's like in this particular draft, the difference between 13 and 15, and I've even seen some people who are already doing draft prep saying, hey, there's a good possibility that the bottom half of this draft in the first round would be guys that were actually second rounders in other draft classes.
Yep, absolutely. This is not a deep, it's an interesting draft in that, yeah, the second round is where you want to be, because the guy the Packers get at 45, and if they were to get 42, the guy they get there might be a guy that they have a higher, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the Packers board and let's just pick a team, the Buffalo Bills board, two good teams, two good organizations, but the guy that Packers have it ranked, you know, number 18 might be 37 on the Bills board and vice versa. Just because there's not that much of a difference between 18 and 38 or 42 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just your flavor. I mean, and how they fit your system. Like there are guys, the Packers play a 3-4, so there are certain guys in this draft that fit a 3-4 better than they do a 4-3. So if you play a 4-3, this guy's isn't even on your board, or he's very low on your board, whereas on a Packer board, he'd be higher. And vice versa, there are guys that are better in a 4-3 defense. And even some of the wide receivers. Like, I I'm starting to work on my series now, and the wide receiver is just, you talk to different people. And in the league now, I'm not talking about fans or bloggers or guys that do, you know, the Mel Kipers of the world. I'm talking about guys that work for teams that are going to be involved in picking these players. One guy tells me the kid from Southern Cal, Jordan Addison, is the best receiver in the draft. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the best. I talked to my other guy. He has him fifth. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's one team that it fits his offense better than it does the other guy's offense. So, not that one guy's right and one guy's wrong, unless, I mean, I don't know. If Addison is a bust, then I guess the guy that had him fifth was more right than the guy that has him number one. But, again, in team one's offense, Addison might just be a much better fit because he's not very big, but he does run good routes and all that kind of stuff. So, that maybe he just might fit that better. So, again, this draft is just, it's one of the more complicated drafts that I've covered in a long, long time. A
lot of variants in it. And we'll
just,
be.
And it's not real. It's just not real strong. It's not a, there isn't, a, to me, there isn't one player in this draft that I could say that I would put my name on and say, no, oh, this guy's going to be a star. There's no doubt in my mind that this guy's going to be a star. I don't, Will Anderson's probably the closest, but I got a feeling he might just be a good player and not a star.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that's possible. I think with the, when draft classes like this one, if it truly is not a very strong class, this is where the GMs around the league earn their stripes.
Yep.
And you can tell who the really good ones are at scouting and the other ones who just get too hot and heavy over prospects and things like that. I mean, we're all hoping that Joe Douglas is drooling over Aaron Rodgers, and it's just like he's hoping against all hope that he can come out of this without looking silly. I mean, right now, what are you going to sell to your locker room if you don't come back with Aaron Rodgers? If you don't get this deal done, you're selling Zach Wilson or whatever is left out there. Whoever's left out there might be worse. Might be worse than that. So if you're the Jets, unless you want to pivot and try to convince everybody, including some of these players, like you just traded for Mecole Hardman and you just signed Alan Lazard, are you going to sell to some of those guys and or pivot and just say, you know what? Never mind. We're actually gonna be mediocre this year. The price was too high. The price was too high. So never mind. We're not gonna do the deal. We think we can get you more to work with in the draft. Like that's not gonna fly.
And then what do you do with Nathaniel Hackett?
Well,
you hired him for one reason. Let's be honest. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers says. That's insulting that Hackett. Oh, good. I'm insulting Hackett then. He got hired because they wanted Rodgers. He didn't get hired based off. It certainly didn't get hired based off what he did in Denver last year.
Right. Not impressive. So, and apparently that was the reason why Denver hired him, because they were going to make it run at Aaron Rodgers, right. And that didn't work out. So,
right. And they fired him. So if this deal somehow falls apart, and I don't think it will, but did it get to fire Hackett?
That would be the reason we brought you in
was to get Rodgers. We ain't getting Rodgers. We're going to go get somebody else to be our offensive coordinator.
That would be the dumbest scapegoat I've ever seen. And I've seen some really dumb ones. And I think you saw a few in Philly you've talked about. Like, yeah. That would be awful.
I'm half joking here, but I'm just saying, like, every move the Jets have made since whenever has been toward getting Aaron Rodgers, hiring Hackett, trading or signing Lazard, making this trade to today. Apparently they're talking to Mercedes Lewis. You know, everything has been geared toward. They've cleared some cap space with some moves. So everything they've done, and that's and it should be if they can get Aaron Rodgers, they had to do certain things and they've done them. Now they have to get Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So the Jets can't let this deal fall apart. They just can't. Now, on the other side, as we've said too, the Packers don't want to get stuck with. I mean, they made it clear that they're moving on to Jordan Love, so they can't get stuck with Aaron Rodgers. So there's pressure on them to get the deal done as well because, and I think you were telling me what somebody wrote that Rodgers should just come to camp like Favre did and be a problem.
I think they said, what if that does happen or you can expect that to happen if everything falls apart? Given everything that's happened in the past, listen, he could. I mean, a lot changes in 16, 15 years. Right. I mean, his attitude and everything he went through and having gone through this before and what he saw the fan base do when Favre came back. Now, they wanted Favre back at this point right now. Everybody, I think, is ready for Rodgers to go somewhere else. Right. So the sentiment in Green Bay is very different. So if he comes back and does that, and then he's literally just going scorched earth and doesn't care what anybody thinks about him, which we know to not be the case. Right. If you're showing up on the McAfee show every week, you care what people think. Like you're out there trying to clear your good name, and you got those two guys lobbing softballs at you, him and Hawk. Like, come on, you care. He cares. That would be the dumbest thing that Rodgers could do. Right, although I guess not from a money standpoint. If he really, really wants that $60 million and he's like, okay, I'll just come back and force them to bench me. But if I'm Brian Gutekunst, at this point, I don't even care. You can throw all the logistics at me in the world. If you're Brian Gutekunst and he comes back, I would be like, fine, you're the highest paid backup in the history of football. And that's just what
that
it is.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely wild. But, and again, the Packers don't want that. They don't want a $60 million backup. No. They want him gone too. Now where what hasn't been said often enough for maybe I've been saying it, but I've seen not too much of it. If this falls apart, another team could easily get involved.
Yeah.
It's put it this way. There's a better chance of one of the other 30 teams calling the Packers and say, hey, did you hope the Jets is off? Yeah. All right, well, we'll give you this. Then the Jets finding a quarterback.
Right. Yes, well.
There's a better chance of the Packers finding a team than the Jets finding another quarterback, because I know there are no quarterbacks. There's nobody left.
Right. So you're saying that's even more of an upper hand for the Packers. Yes.
Right. Because, and again, I've seen this. I've seen the Eagles. Again, I bring up an Eagles story, but that's what I know. Back in 2016, when they draft Carson Wentz, they signed Chase Daniels, and they have Sam Bradford still under contract, who they just exercised his bonus as well. So, and they're selling it to us as, well, Bradford's our guy. He's our starter. Chase is going to be a backup, and we're going to ease Carson along. He's not ready for this yet. He's coming out of a small school, North Dakota State, you know, 1AA, whatever. We're going to ease him in. He's not going to play this year. And we all say, okay, kind of makes sense. You know, let Wentz sit for a year and learn. Because Bradford, it was a one-year deal. He only had 1 year left. And Daniel was a one-year deal as well, so. I think. I'm not sure where Daniels was. But anyway, it was reasonable what they were saying. And then Teddy Bridgewater blows his knee out in was it training camp or mini camp? I forget.
Training camp.
I think it was training camp.
Training camp.
Beginning of early training camp. Right?
It was like middle. It was like middle to later.
But Bridgewater blows his knee out. Now the Vikings are desperate. They call the Eagles. Hey, what's up with you, Bradford? Yeah, we'll give you Bradford. Give us a first and a fourth. Vikings say, sure. Highway robbery by the Eagles, but they get a first and a fourth for Sam Bradford, and the Vikings get Sam Bradford, and all of a sudden, Wentz, who wasn't supposed to play, is a starter.
Right.
So, yeah, things happen. I mean, listen, I'm not wishing anybody to get hurt, but it's a violent game. You know, people get hurt playing football. So I wouldn't be stunned if a team lost a quarterback in preseason, right? I mean, it happens.
Yeah, that was August 30th, so they had played preseason.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was that late. It was right before this. You're right. Okay, now that you said that, it was right before the season was about to start.
I told it, and I think I've told the story before. I was living in Minnesota at the time, and I worked at I worked for one of the hotel companies out there, and so one of the hotels that I worked at frequently had the visiting teams come and stay there that were playing the Vikings. And we also worked with the Minnesota Vikings when they had players coming in for tryouts, because this is when they were in Winter Park. And so before they moved out to Eagan, where they're at right now. And so I remember being I was at the team facility meeting with the guy that does their travel. It was myself and another colleague who happened to be a local. He was a Vikings fan. And of course, I'm a Packers fan, right? So we're there, and it was for business. And that was the day that everything went down. And all of a sudden, we saw all these media members were just walking fastly or jogging in past the window. And it was like, is there a hurricane coming, or what the heck is going on here? And they were ushering everybody off the field, and there was an ambulance coming in to take Teddy Bridgewater to the hospital. So yeah, I was there for that. I'll never forget that day. It was eerie. It was very weird, and it was scary, because that was one of those injuries too. It was kind of like the Alex Smith. It was kind of like the Alex Smith injury, where if they didn't take certain measures right away, there was going to be major health problems. You know, he'd possibly lose a leg and all that kind of stuff. So fortunately,
it's amazing that Bridgewater came back and played again.
But here's the irony right now, Mark, is he's exactly the guy that we're talking about. I think he might be the best quarterback that's still out there and available for a team to sign.
Has he been cut?
I thought so.
Okay.
But other than that, who else are we talking about here? You said Matt Ryan, you know, Cam Newton's throwing balls at workouts. I don't know if he's going to play again. So, really?
I had a list.
It's so interesting. It's just, I mean, regarding,
as far as I know, Teddy's still on the Dolphins roster.
But I can tell you this right now, that the list
Carson
is
Wentz,
the
who I mentioned, Matt Ryan, Trevor Siemian, Brian Hoyer. That's about it.
But still, that list, I mean, without you even having to look at
it. You can't say we're going to go get Aaron Rodgers
right
and then sign Teddy Bridgewater.
As we've said, and that's why I think Green Bay, and the longer, here's the obvious thing here too, is where are we at right now? We're at the end of March. The Packers have another I know they might want to get some more clarity before the draft, but if that doesn't happen, you got another 2 months before June 1st hits. And listen, if this deal doesn't get done until after then, the Packers save even more money.
Oh, wait. If I think the obviously the first major deadline is the draft.
The draft.
Because if it doesn't get done, if it doesn't get done by the draft, then obviously the Packers aren't getting any picks out of this year's draft.
Correct. So, yeah, they're not getting any of those twos.
That's a loss for the Packers.
Mm-hmm. In theory, depending on what they get. But yes, probably.
Well, I mean, so it's an immediate loss. Now they could recoup that loss by getting a bunch of players and picks for next year. But that's their first major deadline. The next is June 1st, because like you said, if I'm the Packers, if the Jets don't get this done with me by the Thursday night of the draft, then I'm not even talking to them again till June 2nd, because I stand nothing to gain between April 27th and June 1st. Nothing,
right.
There's nothing the Packers can gain. But
correct.
Then after June 1st, like you said, then it could break up Rodgers' cap hit between this year and next year. So the Packers would gain then. And then the next deadline isn't until September when Rodgers, and that's an ultimate deadline for the Packers, because
yeah, they have to exercise his option. Yeah.
That's when the money kicks in.
Yes.
So if they don't trade him by then he's the highest paid backup of all time.
Like, but I will tell you this again, we've talked about this a couple weeks ago. Before any of this started gaining more legs, is that as ridiculous and silly as it sounds, whatever the scenario is that you want to throw at this deal and how the dates change, how this or that might happen, the Packers are already prepared for every situation to happen. And I'm even talking about Rodgers comes back and forces their hand and somehow, for some way, he ends up back on this roster. I'm telling you, the Packers are prepared for all of that. That's one of the reasons why I don't think you're not seeing them blink right now. They're not the ones that are most likely to blink first.
You want the all-time craziest ending to this? The deal falls apart. They can't come to terms. Like you said, Rodgers comes back. And again, I'm not wishing this on any. I'm certainly not wishing this. But I'm giving you the all-time crazy ending. Jordan Love gets hurt. Rodgers gets the starting job back. Takes the Packers to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
wins
geez,
the Super
yeah.
Bowl. Yeah. Retires. Hoisting the Lombardi.
If that is crazy, that would be. I mean, could you imagine being a writer?
No.
Like the stories write themselves.
That would be the all timer, right?
You just let the AI machine take over and take a week off, and you still have the hottest story out there, because it's just they totally write themselves. Well, if they won the Super Bowl, if Rodgers, let's say this wasn't happening, right? Let's say Aaron Rodgers was going to come back to the Packers this year. Let's go ahead and play a little what if, right? Let's say he was going to come back and there was no Jordan Love, or Love was just going to be a backup. And it was like, okay, it's already been decided. It's already been discussed, right? Whether they like it or not. How do you feel about the Packers' chances with what they have right now of winning? If they won a Super Bowl with this roster and Rodgers at quarterback, I think they would have to win in spite of him instead of with him. Like, I just don't see him still gelling with another year. Like, he's just not proven that he can play well in big games. And you got another year of him being older, playing in that cold. If they have a home game for some reason, like I that would be against. I mean, imagine the amount of money that people would win if they bet on that. They had a futures bet or something like that. Like,
I'm still waiting to collect on my bet that Rodgers was going to go to the Jets.
Generational wealth if you bet a future on that and it hits. Like, that's one of those, like, if someone hit on that, it would make the news. That's just absolutely crazy. But again, I think you have to think, getting back to the beginning and the moves that the Jets made. We don't know if they're
done
today.
What's today's date? It was Wednesday, so the
22nd. 23rd. Sorry, 23rd. It's March 23rd.
Tomorrow. Yeah. The March 23rd, that date is going to be key to this whole thing, because I really believe, and I could be wrong, maybe it's just coincidence, but I just think the moves made today were made with a trade to the Packers in mind.
Well, yesterday. I mean, you mean yesterday, yeah. Which
yes,
actually is the 22nd.
Okay.
My fault. 3:22.
So, you know, people know what I meant. The signing the guy from Kansas City, trading Moore to Cleveland, getting the second, giving up a third, all that just all leads to, just like hiring Nathaniel Hackett, signing Alan Lazard, add this to those other chapters of the book that leads to ultimately acquiring Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the New York Jets.
I don't know what this means, but so Wednesday's date, 3 22-23. So 3-2-2-2-3. Symmetry.
Bunch of twos and threes.
But there's a pattern to it. Symmetry. Does the date mean something? All right. Right now I'm starting to get real. Now I'm starting to sound like I'm going to go on a darkness retreat soon. And
you sound like my daughter. My daughter is all about numbers.
Okay.
She always says to me, oh, this, you know, like double, like if it's 12-12 or 13, if she thinks they're all like I had my surgery on December 12th. She's like, Dad, that's good. You had it on 12-12. So you're going to be fine. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'm glad I didn't have it on the day before then.
Yeah. Right.
But she believes in all that. She's a big numerology person.
Is she also big on, does she do that like 11-11 make a wish?
Oh, she does, makes it all, not just 11-11, 12-12, 8-0-8, 9 or whatever. Yeah, she's into all that.
Wow. A lot of wishes.
Yeah, she's smart kid, has a great job, but she's into numbers.
Well, what does she think is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers then? Let's get her take.
I haven't talked to her about it. I did talk to my wife, who I've mentioned a few times on here, not being the biggest football fan, but has in the last three, four years has learned way more than she used to know. She says to me, I guess this was right after the McAfee thing last week, right after we did our thing last week. She says to me, hey, I'm like, what? She says, what's this? The Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty much done. He's going to go to the Jets. I thought he was good. I said, hey, he was. Mm-hmm. I said, then why do you want to trade him? I said, well, he's 39 and this. He's 39? I said, yeah. He says, that's old for football, right? I said, that's real old for football. Oh, yeah, they should trade him. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's my wife's take.
Right. Okay. All right. So
I got another thought real quick here on the Jets getting the second exercise. Could the Jets now use one of those seconds to sign Yash Nieman to an offer sheet?
Oh, wow. Jeez. All the moving parts.
I just thought of that. I don't know where it just popped in my head. Like,
They could.
They do need offensive line help. Maybe Rodgers is saying, hey, go get Yash Nieman.
Yeah, they could.
Rodgers is running the show there, right? I mean, he's already making moves for him.
Yeah, but they could. I mean, what a flip that would be. An undrafted free agent, and you get a second-round tender? What a great thing. And listen, the Jets, like I've said before, I said on Quick Slants, the Jets are not the most historically sound team in NFL history. So it wouldn't be unlike them to do something a little silly. That's why I'm glad it's them that the Packers are negotiating with, because it's like it's not like Niners or some team that has this like strong history of negotiating well. And now I do think this to kind of, and maybe we're getting kind of towards the end of our points on this whole thing here, but let's say this does fall apart and you said other suitors might come in there. If the Jets thing doesn't happen and they're out, okay, for some reason, then if you're if it's the Packers, AFC, NFC, come ye all offers. Now, not within the division, they're not going to go. I mean, but the NFC teams are going to be in play. That's going to get really interesting to me. They have to be, right?
Yes. Anybody, well, like I said, especially if a team were to lose their starting quarter, a playoff aspiration team like Minnesota was that year, and they lose their starting quarterback, they're desperate. I'm trying to think of a team like that. There's plenty. Here's a funny one. Dak Prescott goes down and goes, and again, not wishing this on anyone, not even done it. I hate even saying it, but let's just say the Cowboys need a quarterback. Would good old Mike want good old Aaron back?
If Trey Lance isn't ready, the Niners have already been connected to Rodgers. But for some reason, didn't Rodgers already say he wouldn't play for the Niners? I thought he said that.
That
somewhere.
Was the one thing he said before any of this.
He won't go to San Francisco.
I think it was during that golf thing he was in. Somebody said, Aaron, where are you going to play next year? And he said, I can tell you, I'm not going to San Francisco.
Do you think that's he said that? Do you think it was like serious, or was that like, I don't want to get busted for tampering?
I think he just figured the Packers would never trade him to San Francisco.
Right.
And he probably still wouldn't. That would be the last. That would probably be, other than the Bears and Vikings, that would probably be the last team they would trade him to.
Okay.
I think. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's going to get.
It's going to get done, and you think it's going to be the Jets?
Yes. Like I said, especially with what happened today, the Jets, they added more ammunition to their repertoire or whatever. They have the means.
They've got so much to lose if they don't. They have to get it done.
Oh, they have. Joe Douglas will probably get. I mean, Woody Johnson's is gonna fire him. See, I still believe. I'm not 100% sure that Joe Douglas was behind this from the go. I think Douglas would have been just as happy to sign Carr as a free agent.
So Woody creates this situation and then dumps it in Joe Douglas's lap. And if he doesn't get it done, now, Woody's going to let him go.
Well, first of all, he's 20-46 since he took over. That's grounds enough, right?
Yeah, you got a ways to go. Yes.
I mean, despite the fact that every Jet fan I see on social media is telling me that Joe Douglas is the greatest general manager of all time. Mm-hmm. He's 20-46. That's bottom line. I don't care how many great trades he made. I don't care how many great that he drafted both rookie of the years last year. He's 20-46.
Mm-hmm.
This is about that. The NFL is a bottom line business. It's about wins and losses. It's not about who made good trades and who made good draft picks. Cause all those good trades and all those good draft picks added up to 20-46. So that's the bottom line.
I wonder if he knew that this was how things were going to shake out over the years, if he would have let Tannenbaum go. It's like he couldn't have done any worse.
Not much worse.
Or not much worse.
Last year's Jets draft was tremendous. One of the best drafts maybe in history of football. But that's one draft. I mean, you know, they're 20-46. So, yeah, if this falls apart, if Joe Douglas can't get this deal done, and I'm the owner, I'm saying, matter of fact, I'm in there now saying to Joe Douglas, get this damn deal done.
Oh, I'm sure.
What are you doing?
I'm sure.
We out there. We talked to him. He wants to come to us. You're holding this up over a draft pick?
So that's how 13 may get involved in this draft then, in this deal.
Maybe. If the Packers insist on 13. Now, the Packers might be like you said. Packers might say, 42-43 and a player? Maybe that's better than 13.
You still have three. I mean, Jesus, that's four. You'd have four picks in the top 100.
One in
the top 15. That is, that's true. Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah. Sign me up.
And because, a player.
Yeah, because in this draft, all of those picks, you know, the delta between them is not that big.
Right.
It's not that
so
great.
I'm saying, you know, a lot could happen. It's too easy now to get done. That it won't get done.
Right.
And again, if I'm the Packers, if I'm Murphy, I guess Murphy has he can fire, you know, he's the guy that would fire. I'm telling Gutekunst, hey, you get this done too. What's going on? We thought we had this deal done with the Jets and we were going to get something. Go get something. Now, it's not quite the same as the Jets because, like I said, it's like you said, how can you have your fan base worked up in a frenzy that they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. You have the owner wants them. The players want them. I mean, they had the Sauce Gardner and those guys online, you know, doing videos and stuff with them, you know, burning cheese heads and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Joe Douglas can't face all that and say, no, the Packers want it too much. We couldn't give that up.
They can't and they shouldn't, but are you 100% sure it's the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. Are you 100% sure that they can't somehow bungle it and make that happen?
Oh, yeah, they can. But they do that, Douglas. But the end result is Douglas gets fired over.
Yes, yes, correct.
It's like you said, you know, Teddy Bridgewater or whoever, that's like telling your kids, oh, I'm going to take you to Disney World. Oh, and then you take them to like the church carnival. Right?
I love it. Oh, my God. If we were doing, like, snippets and previews, that would be the snippet and preview of this show right there. That would be it. That was fantastic. Like, oh, man. That's kind of like that deep thoughts with Jack Handy on Saturday Night Live. Now I'm aging the hell out of myself because that's, like, from back in, like, the 90s. But it was like my parents told us we were going to Disneyland, but what they really took us to was a shack or a burnt down building or something. And we started heading to the real Disneyland, but it was getting late, .. And that was the end of the segment.
But, like the Griswold going on vacation.
And then it's closed when you get there. Yeah, exactly. So,
anyway, hopefully by our next show.
Hopefully by the time people are listening to this thing is done. And hopefully they listen to this just for fun and entertainment purposes. Now, we'll save it. Because I think we can talk about it at any time, but you, and this is a good time to talk about what Packer Report, because you put up a good piece about Jordan Love, and there's a great conversation to be had there, and just some interesting stuff regarding him.
Yeah, I talked to a pretty highly regarded executive in the league, long been around for I don't know how many years. And I prefaced it by saying he liked Jordan Love in the draft. He's always liked Jordan Love, and just had him compare Love to every other starting quarterback in the league, and where he would rank them. So I said Love versus Dak Prescott, Love versus Daniel Jones, Love. We went team by team, and he gave me his take on it. And I don't want to give it away, so I don't want people to read the story where Love ranked out of the 31 other quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was pretty high.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's good. Well, that'll be fun.
My draft stuff starts now too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And we'll do some draft stuff here as soon as we get into that season on the Thursday edition. We'll talk about some draft things here too. But that's what I'm hoping for. If you and I are talking about that story that you wrote, we're breaking that down. That means this whole saga is finally behind us. Listen, it's been great for content, but I would love to move forward and actually talk about the 2023 Green Bay Packers and what they're actually going to do on the field. Right. So.
And what picks they have in the draft, because we don't know. We still don't know what they're going to have or not,
More TBD there. So I don't know if there'll be a Quick Science podcast because there hasn't really been a ton of movement. So we'll see if there's one that comes out next week or not. But if nothing else, you and I will be back next Thursday for the next edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. So thanks, everybody, for riding along with us. Hopefully, we get some good news sooner than later. I hope everyone is doing well, staying happy, staying healthy. And as always, go Pack, go.
The ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.